welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Fantasy Football Pellwood Podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It's great to have you with us, Peter. How are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic. Could not be happy to be here, and I am excited to have another special guest with us this week joining us.
That's right. Brock.
Gentlemen.
The man who I am both impressed with and frustrated with simultaneously. Not only did you defeat me this week in a soul-crushing defeat, you also bested me in our, 10-man fan duel that I came in second to you this week as well. And so it was just insult to injury. But it is a real privilege to have you here with us tonight all the way from Hawaii. Is your wife already interrupting the podcast? We are less Peter, than 2 minutes in. Well, typically about 2 minutes in, we hear a wife update, as it were, anyway. So
this is just a wife who's awake.
It's a live wife update.
because our wives are asleep, and
it's 6:20 here.
Yeah, she's 5 hours behind, and so she is awake.
Well, glad to have her with us, I guess.
Well, Brock, how does your wife feel about your fantasy football, just overall, general, 3 weeks in?
Well, one of her favorite shows is The League. However, she feels like I talk about too much fantasy football.
Well, there seems to be a bit of a contradiction there.
Indeed. And is she aware that you're currently sitting live in a podcast that is the whole existence is to talk about fantasy football?
Not at all.
Okay. All right.
I got home from work. She's got a test for school today. For some reason, she goes to a campus. So, however, her tests are online. So
you went with the don't ask, don't tell approach of marriage and fantasy football conversations. Is that what I'm gathering here? Now, yes. Peter,
it's becoming a theme.
Yeah. Peter and I have already discussed at length the don't ask, don't tell strategy, and it's got its merits on occasion.
Well, having served in the don't ask, don't tell part of the military back 2004 to 2009, I'm well aware of the policy.
All right. Well, you're probably well aware of the consequences then as well. I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, they're catching me quick.
Well, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us live, bro.
Oh, my pleasure.
So good to have you. I hear you're an avid listener of the show. Is that true?
That is correct. I'm catching up.
Well, it's always good to have a fan on board. Oh, well, we're going to get to it this week. We've got plenty to talk about. I'm anxious to talk about matchups this week as well as injuries. The bug has bitten very soon inside the 2015-16 NFL season, and it's bitten me particularly hard. Brock, you've actually experienced that. We got to watch the Goliath, as it were, of our league gets struck down by David this week, and we have plenty of commentation to be had on each of those things. We've got plenty of fans jumping in online on Periscope as well. Glad to have you guys with us. We're going to be conducting our league podcast here, but later on we'll be happy to dive into some starter sit conversation with you guys as well. So, looking forward to that. Peter, why don't you give us a preview of week 3 and what's coming, and we'll jump into the match of the week.
All right, so after week 2, as the case often is with our league, we have a great parity in the league where there are two teams that sit at 2-0, two teams that sit at 0-2, and the remaining 8 teams are all locked at 1-1. So it is early in the season, and so that is, you know, could just be a fluke, but historically this has been the trend where we will see many teams hover around 500 right down to the end, where the last week of the season there is conceivably 5 or 6 teams fighting for 1 or 2 playoff spots. Sure. So that's just been the way our league's gone. It's been highly competitive, owners who pay attention through the full season, which is just one of the reasons why this is the greatest fantasy football league in the world. And so that's where we stand today.
One of many.
No, the greatest fantasy football. I didn't stutter.
I said it's one of many reasons that it's the greatest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I...
Undisputable.
Okay, yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good. Gotta just make sure that's clear for everyone involved. So sitting at 2-0, and which is one great reason why he's here with us today, is Brock. Brock is made his way to 2-0 by scoring a total of 259 points, which is it's a respectable sixth in the league. However, he does have the fewest points against by a fairly a safe margin. He has 214 points against him, Brock, so far two pretty easy matchups for you,
there was a chance Mike Evans was going to play. Okay, there was a chance.
He played. He was on that field.
Truth and fact have no place in this conversation. All right, come on.
Oh man, yeah.
So Brock, all the wins count. No one's going to take them off the board away from you. But how are you feeling about your team at 2-0? Compared to the rest of the league, do you feel like you're a playoff team? Are you a lock at this point to get there? What are your thoughts?
I feel like I'm a bubble team at best. If I can get some players back, and that's a big if. Injuries are always a huge deal in football as well as fantasy football. I think these guys just need to suck it up a little bit more and do their job. They're so inconsiderate. Torn ACL, I don't want to hear excuses.
Brock, you have nearly 100 points fewer after 2 weeks than Brent.
Brent put up 209 in week one. That was just a little absurd.
Yeah, that was quite a fluke. In fact, that might have been, it was definitely the first appearance in a while, but it might have been the first appearance over 200. I cannot remember breaching 200 points last season in our league. Do you remember that, Pete?
I thought Ben did it once.
Yeah, someone did. I know. I think we've had one 200 point performance every season. Brent just hit it in week one, so he set the bar high.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, it's still a tight race. I'm looking at. I mean, I'm only 40 points behind Brock right now, and I'm 0-2. I am 8 or 10, depending on how you look at it, spots behind him in the division. And only.
Well, I mean, week one I was third in scoring. Week two I was ninth in scoring. I just happened to be, lucky. Okay. I could very, very, very easily be 0-2 right now.
So you're calling yourself. It's a little bit of self deprivation here. Are you trying to appease the fantasy gods by taking the humble route?
I'm not. I'm taking an honest look at my team right now, and unless production starts to increase, which I think it's very capable of being a dominant team. However, the first 2 weeks of the season, some guys who I'd like to see, and I'm sure a lot of the fans on the Lions would like to see Abdullah get some more touches. They're just not getting the touches that they need. So
yeah,
I think my team. I think I'm a bubble team at best. The 2-0 head start does increase my odds of doing better.
Absolutely. You came in at third in the power rankings this week. A lot of that is fueled by the 2-0 start. My comment for your team in the power rankings this week was, Daddy, what's unsustainable?
Victory. It's funny. Spot on. You use that word a lot about when we're talking about every game we competed, and every time I win, you say, well, that's just unsustainable.
That's the cry of the loser, isn't it? But yes, indeed, you do. You probably cannot expect to continue to put up these sorts of scores and see that spotless record carry on throughout the season. Now, switching over to the other end of the spectrum, Seth, you came in and dead last in the power rankings this week, down three spots. The comment that I had for you was that on one hand, your team sucks, and on the other hand, your management sucks. and I said that in love, totally, brother, because you left so many points on your bench in week two that it was comical to me, because you scored 83.6 points, and I believe the four players on your bench combined to score 81 points. So you had four guys who nearly outscored the 10 guys that you actually started, and your ideal lineup was at 139, so 55 points higher than what you actually scored. I don't want to continue to pick on you here, but so far this season, your wide receivers have scored 36 points, which if you And that's all your wide receivers combined through 2 weeks have scored 36 points. If you were to run that out on that pace over the course of the season, you would, all your wide receivers combined would be about worth the, number 10 wide receiver from last season. That would,
I get it. No,
it would score slightly, slightly less than what Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay. Scored last year. So, thank you very much.
How do you feel about your team, especially knowing that DeMarco Murray left practice with an...
This is a very long build to a question. Is there a question in here?
Yeah, you're right. It is a long build, but I just want to really drive home the point.
here's the deal. Yes, the reason that my wide receiving core point total has suffered is because I have left Mike Evans in both weeks. I'm upset about that. I believed week one, based off of all the commentary I could find, that he was going to play. He did not play. It was not even a game day decision. It was a ground level, like field, you know, coin flip decision at the very last minute. And I had bad intel. Week two went into it. I went, you know what? If he suits up on Friday, we'll give him a chance. He suited up on Friday. He looked good. People were excited about him. They're talking about him. They're building hype. And I was like, you know what? And at one point, I don't know if you saw, but going into on Saturday, I had Eric Decker sitting in instead of Mike Evans. I was like, nope, I'm not going to do it unless I get a call from Tampa Bay on Sunday. And they call me and say, we're putting him in. I'm not going to put Mike Evans on my bench. And So I swapped him back in, believing a little bit of hype and believing that he was going to play. And oh, how he played. And it was a thank you very much to the Periscoper. It was a shame me once, shame me twice kind of situation. And I was frustrated by it. So there's your poor management. I let Evans put a goose egg up for me twice in a row, and there's my wide core issue. Now, who'd have thunk that Eric Decker was going to go off this week? I didn't, and so that would have been nice, and that certainly would have helped my ideal and optimal score. Everything else has been kind of crazy.
That would have given you a victory over Brock by about 2 points, yeah. It would appear. So, yeah, that would have been the difference maker. In week one, we talked about you lost by 0.2 points, so any warm body in there over Mike Evans. You should be 2-0 were it not for Mike Evans, yeah. Which is astounding that's the way the season has broke for you so far. Yeah. Instead, you're really ugly 0-2. If not for Mike Evans putting up two zeros in your lineup, you would be 2-0.
Yeah.
And that's the harsh reality of it. Now you also
cheers. It's appreciated.
You're welcome.
You also lost Tony Romo this week.
Yes, I did.
It looks like you. do my eyes deceive me, Seth? Who's your quarterback right now?
Let's see here. I moved some things around this week, and I might have picked up an old flame.
No, this is not an old flame, Seth. This is you have Eli Manning as your starting quarterback, Seth. You have claimed your mantra several times. Never draft Eli Manning.
I didn't draft him. I mean specifically in the auction draft format, you should never ever pick up Eli Manning. I stand by that. If the court reporter were to read back the minutes, I did not perjure myself. I said do not draft him. I never spoke to the waiver wire and a week-to-week matchup consideration. I think all is fair in love and war. When it comes down to week-to-week setups, I don't like being on the hot seat this week. I'm not a fan of it at all. I don't like your questions. I don't feel like you're trying to help me put my best foot forward. And I think that in terms of a head-to-head, yes, Eli has not looked great. But he did a little bit better this last weekend. And he's up against the Washington. Redskins this weekend, yeah. And I think that being up against the Redskins, he's got a pretty good chance of working his game. So I'm starting him this week. I'm not saying he's my new starting quarterback. I'm just having to slide into a week-to-week matchup situation, and he's my best pick for the week. So
Matt Stafford's available.
I saw that now, too. Yeah.
Well, I do not, I will hold no quarter. If you co-host this podcast with me and you start OM2, you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent.
Well, you're doing a great job.
All right. So that's enough about y'all's teams. Now we can move on to the week ahead. And really,
the only thing we're missing is you like pointing a dramatic finger at me and yelling, "Shame!"
You can't handle the truth.
Well, all right.
So we'll jump to week three. We'll start talking about some matchups here. We can just stick with your matchup, Seth, since we started talking about it a little bit already. You're going up against Michael this week, who is 1-1. The comment I had for Michael was, in the power rankings this week was more of a statistically based comment, which was that he has four players on his team who have scored 73% of his total points for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, he paid a dear price for those players in the auction. And now, it is coming to fruition that they are the heart and soul of his team. That's Tom Brady, Jamal Charles, Calvin Johnson, and Julian Edelman. All of which did very well last week, carrying him to victory.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is going with that Stars and Scrubs lineup up against you this week, which looks to be a pretty even matchup. How do you feel about it going into it?
Yeah. And his draft was kind of along that line too, and I'm actually beginning to believe that he might have had some strategy in his studs picks, because he left after those four picks inside his auction, and yet he's doing just fine with it, at least in terms of his total points scored, his four core performing. So I feel good about it. I am obviously not depending on Mike Evans this week. He's probably going to go off against Houston, and it's going to be the bane of my existence. And
you've got to play Mike Evans.
I think I'm just going to have to drop him. I got to get the curse out of my my system here.
All right, we're going to talk trades after this is over.
Okay. So Brent's already been hitting me up, been texting me all day asking for Mike Evans. So I think that DeMarco Murray is getting used to the Jets offense, and he's still trying to find his niche out there. I have seen Greg Olsen bounce back this week, and so it's just the darndest thing. I really like my team, and I like my team after the draft, and I like my team after getting whooped 2 weeks in a row, with the exception of a couple of weak performances. Like, week one really was a fluke. I mean, it was a fluke loss. I lost by 0.2 points after a 34-point comeback by my opponent, and an amazing, you know, game changer of a performance. And so I'm not so worried about that. This week, Brock beats me hands down. I love them. I love the look of my team. I believe that I will get the numbers out of these people. I really do, with the exception of the fourth string wide that I picked up to fill a hole this week. I feel decent about my team. Now, I feel better about Tom Brady and C.J. Anderson and Jamal Charles and Calvin Johnson. And so I'm going to have to see averages across my entire roster this week if I bring a win.
Yeah, that is a solid point. You're going to need to have no duds in your lineup this week.
Exactly.
And hope that Michael's lineup is more stars and duds than
you got it.
Stars and scrubs. So
that's what I think.
Yeah, it's gonna take a whole team performance. You're gonna have to really rally that locker room, give whatever inspiring speech you have to get them out there playing as a team.
Yeah, it's gonna be really hard. I'm flying to the East Coast, and I'm gonna try to hit up a couple of pregame warmups in there, which will give me time to hit up New England, and then so I can have some words with Tom Brady. I'm planning on going at his conscience, I'm not going to be angry with him. I'm not trying to talk him down and get in his head. I really just want to have a conversation about ethics with him and see if I can't, shake him up a little bit that way and then swing around and go.
I don't think you want to make Tom Brady angry.
No.
Yeah. I don't think you want to get in that kind of conversation with Tom Brady, and he might just might just go all pissed off Tom on you and throw 5 touchdown passes. What you might want to do is make your way to Philadelphia like tomorrow and go all go all Mr. Miyagi on DeMarco Murray's hamstring, because
I know
the reports aren't good.
I'm tempted to play his
well, I just dropped from another Ryan Matthews 2 days ago, so
I'm tempted to play Latavius Murray in DeMarco's place this week due to that hammy.
Yeah, you might have to make some lineup changes from what you got right now, because I think you're going to want Mike Evans on that wall.
Shut up. I'm
and you're probably like going to have to put DeMarco's younger brother Latavius in there for him.
Yeah, that's probably going to have to happen.
Yep.
We'll see. Right. But like all I said, no duds. I need points across the board.
Yep. All right. So gotta make some picks here.
I gotta go with TNR.
Yep. All right. You're pitching yourself. That's good. You gotta have that. If no one else believes in you, your team has to know that you believe in them.
That's right.
And that will motivate them.
Yeah. Eli Manning sees right through that. He looks at me and goes, "You don't believe in me." And I'm like, "You're right. I don't."
What's going to be really scary is that Eli Manning is playing the Thursday game, you know, so you're going to find out tomorrow just how your weekend prospects are looking, and it might be a long weekend for you if Eli falls on his face on the Thursday night game.
I'll always have FanDuel.
That's right. That is why we play Daily Fantasy, to escape from our full season team.
That's right.
When we need to.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Well, I got to pick Michael. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I actually liked all his top players this week. And he's looking pretty good. So I got to go with Michael. But I do think Mike Evans needs to be in.
You stop that.
I'm just trying to make sure that it is clear to you that you need to play Mike Evans this week. So that if you don't,
it's documented.
You know, that's right.
No, here's what's gonna happen. I'll go ahead and document it for you. I'm not gonna play him, and he's gonna have one of the greatest weeks of his career.
Yep,
that's what's gonna happen. Okay,
no question.
I will. If you don't trade Mike Evans to me before this weekend, I will use him in FanDuel and beat you with him.
That's just bold. I hate you guys so much right now. I'm going to edit all of this out, by the way. Yeah. Y'all forget, this is my podium. This is my podcast.
Yep. Aren't we broadcasting live?
We are broadcasting live to the three people who are listening, and I think one of them is you. So, I want to switch gears here and discuss Brock's dilemma up against the 0-2 once in a silver star.
Give me 10 seconds. I got to go free the dog.
Free the dog.
All right, this is a professional podcast. Does he?
I'll monologue for a little bit.
Okay. If it's about my team, I'm gonna kick you out.
I'll give a super long introduction to the Brock and Jared's matchup here. All right. So we've discussed that Brock is a lucky 2-0. We might be able to say that Jared is an unlucky 0-2. The comment I had for Jared in the power rankings this week was, in quotations, I wonder who's really underperformed this year, and then go and pull up Jared's roster, because it is it's filled with guys who have not lived up to their potential this year, especially Jeremy Hill, and Jonathan Stewart lead the charge there, especially with Hill last week fumbling twice and then getting pulled, only putting up one measly point. Now, is this, so I guess the big question is, you know, something's got to give here. Is this going to be the matchup that gives Brock his first loss and Jared his first win? Or are we going to see Jared move to 0-3 and Brock zoom into the lead at 3-0? We've got, for Jared, he's got Teddy Bridgewater, Jeremy Hill, and James Starks, Odell Beckham Jr., Allen Robinson, and Jonathan Stewart are probably the key players there. And Brock's got Matt Ryan, Adrian Peterson, Amir Abdullah, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins, John Brown, and the newly acquired Matt Jones, going for him as well. Matt Jones, who has been quite the revelation for Washington so far this year. So overall, Brock, how are you feeling about your matchup against Jared this week?
Oh, I just looked at it now, actually. I might actually, there might be some tinkering going on. Brandon Cooks has been very unstellar thus far.
Indeed.
And with Breeze being kind of hurt, I might sit Cooks. Hopkins will probably be a game time decision based on whether or not he plays.
And the game time decisions are always tough for you, being in Hawaii.
Yeah, game time decisions are at 6:30 a.m. on Sunday. That's a little harsh.
It's dedication to get up and get those changes in.
Well, I get up and watch the games.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but Hopkins will play, but Brandon Cooks, I might switch around. I don't know what to do. But he's got some tough matchups. Jeremy Hill is underperforming. Kansas City's been very good against the run. And New England's been very good against Jacksonville always. So yep. I don't see as big a week from Robinson week.
You know, this looks like a pretty low-scoring matchup, and it's going to be probably pretty even. And we may be here next week talking about how Brock is the luckiest 3-0 team.
Yeah. I was just thinking that. I was going, this is going to be y'all are going to be lucky to break 100 points.
Yeah.
And whether or not Jared wins or not is going to depend on whether or not Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a decent game or not.
Well, and to be fair, though, I feel at the end of the year we're going to look back and Adrian Peterson is going to have his points. He just doesn't have them yet. He had some yards, but no touchdowns yet. 8 right. points in the first game, you know, took that year off coming back. I feel like he's going to be one of the top running backs in the league.
Right.
Yeah. We just haven't seen that yet. So nope. That's something to look forward to.
Yep. Well, Pete, you got to pick him. Who are you picking?
This is a tough one.
My luck runs out. I give it to Jared.
Right now, Jared doesn't have a kicker in there. Once he puts a kicker in there, the projected points are basically equal.
It'd be flat.
And
got to hand it to ESPN. Jets, ESPN's been on point, believe it or not.
I have a feeling that we're going to see no undefeated teams after this week. So I'm gonna pick Jared to upset. Well, I don't know if it's really an upset, but I'm gonna pick Jared to beat Brock here.
All right, I'm gonna pick Brock to win because I like the idea of a crappy 3-0 team.
I do like that idea too. That is a nice dream.
I pick Jared just because that'll be like the most happy I'll ever be to eat crow ever.
All right,
there you go. So Brock is daring the fantasy gods and picking against himself.
Yep.
In week 3.
All right.
Hey, you know what? Those 3 straight years that the Cowboys were do or die in the playoffs, I bet against the Cowboys every time and won a little nice little sum of money.
Yeah, then you're happy either way.
Exactly.
It's a legitimate strategy.
I would have gladly paid $100 for the Cowboys to go to the playoffs, but instead I got $100. Like, damn. Oh, well.
There you go. You can almost always bet against the Cowboys in December.
That's about right. Let's keep it in the family and hop over to Scott Manawai's game up against Ben Felker, shall we?
Ben. Wait, what? We're going to analyze?
All right, so this one, it may not be such a slam dunk. As we look at it, Scott is missing a wide receiver right now. But Scott is, however, the only team that has scored.
Oh, look, Carlos Hyde came back down to earth this week. Imagine that.
Yeah. I believe he got hurt and had to leave the game. So congratulations, Seth. All your evil wishes against Carlos Hyde got him hurt.
Hey.
I hope you feel really happy with yourself.
I don't, because I picked him up in FanDuel and lost to Brock. So there's that.
you're just doing it all sorts of wrong after 2 weeks.
Struggle. Struggle is real.
Turn things around. All right, so the thing about Scott's team is that, Seth, you've scored 36 points from your wide receivers, and Scott has scored 34 points from his wide receivers, and he doesn't have a Mike Evans excuse. So Scott is really hurting for some wide receiver help, which is a pretty big part of a PPR lead. So I do think Brock's analysis that Ben is the clear choice here is pretty solid. He's got, I think the one that jumps out is Jimmy Graham going to Chicago in Seattle. First time Jimmy Graham's been playing in Seattle. I think that's going to favor him quite nicely. Yep. So yeah, I think this is Ben's game to lose, and it's not going to be particularly close. I don't know if there are any dissenting opinions out there about
that. Bold prediction, though. Ebron outscores Jimmy Graham.
All right, so we got Eric Ebron going against Denver, outscoring Jimmy Graham going against
Yes.
Okay, that's fair enough. Seattle's been
I said up bold
secondary. No,
they're just not using him.
Yeah, I think that's not necessarily a safe prediction. It's still bold, but it's
bold.
It's one made with some deliberation in hand. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Other than that, I feel like Matt Forte, Marshawn Lynch, T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Marshall do work, and yep. That just doesn't bode well for Percy Harvin and Greg Jennings and Lamar Miller.
And when Lamar Miller is your number one running back, I think we do need to hand it over to Ben, as it is.
Yep.
Well, Carlo is fine.
Yeah, I don't know if Lamar Miller is playing this week. He may not be.
I will say, I feel Ben historically has been stupid good at getting people who aren't good, and then just become like Dante Moncrief with T.Y. Hilton. You know, playing or not, any guy came out of nowhere, and he did that with DeSean Jackson, 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah,
sure.
He's done that throughout the time we've played. He's been able to separate those one-hit wonders who go out and have a good week for whatever reason and then never do anything again.
Right.
He's always managed to find that guy who's like, okay, I'm a star now. That's just it. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, what by whatever methods, they end up being pretty unconventional for Ben, but he puts up a pretty solid fantasy season consistently.
Yes, he does.
Back-to-back second-place finishes. So he does know what he's doing out there, however unconventional his methods seem at the time, like when he auto-drafted.
Three quarterbacks, anybody?
Three quarterbacks, and mm-hmm. I'll have a really good team anyway. So.
Yes, sir. Well, let's keep up with our family trend here and hop over to Andy's matchup. Andy going up against Chris this week. Both teams are 1-1. If we were to check the points for thus far, we know that Andy is actually sitting, I think he's number two in the incumbent division. Overall,
he's number four. Like
five, yeah, here you go. Four.
Overall, he's number four. Chris is number eight.
So, with the matchup at hand, what are y'all's thoughts? We have Andrew Luck up against Aaron Rodgers this week. We've got Justin Forsett, Melvin Gordon. We've got Andy sitting strong with Mark Ingram, Emmanuel Sanders, Doug Baldwin, Packers defense this week going up against Kansas. And so
the key here has to be Andrew Luck on Chris's team, because probably preseason consensus number one quarterback, or maybe number two, Luck has been the number 26 or the 26th best quarterback so far. So I mean, 25 quarterbacks better than Andrew Luck is really just kind of bizarre.
He's gonna have his points at the end of the year.
Yeah,
sure, he will, but when is it gonna kick in?
Well, exactly.
He's played Buffalo and the Jets, which are pretty solid defenses, and now he gets to play the Titans. So he should be able to slice and dice them up pretty good. However, Andy's got Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the ball, Aaron Rodgers is probably my favorite quarterback just to watch, just because his throws are so crisp. And I think they just stand out above the rest. The way he just flicks his wrist and fires bullets out there is so much fun. So quarterback's probably going to be a wash. And then the rest of the team, Andy's probably a little bit, lighter on wide receiver. He's got Emmanuel Sanders and Torrey Smith and Doug Baldwin and Devontae Adams. While Chris has Jordan Matthews and Amari Cooper. Brandon Coleman and Michael Crabtree. So he's going with two Raiders wide receivers there, which both did well last week, may not continue to do well going forward. So we'll see about that. Really, this looks like another very even matchup as I look at it. The way that these teams are made up is very similar. both teams' running backs are, you know, kind of in the same range. Probably give Andy the nod on running backs, Chris the nod on wide receivers, and everything else is about a draw.
Yep.
Anything else to add there?
No, I think you're right. I do agree with your point. Andrew Luck, if he's going to bounce back, is a good week to do it. And then Aaron Rodgers, it's still up in the air whether or not Eddie Lacy and Devontae Adams are going to be weapons that he'll have the ability to take advantage of this weekend. So that could be a push as well. So all that to say, this is another good little matchup looking for. Who's your pick?
I think I'm going to go with Andy here. I think the strength of the running backs that he has is probably going to be the difference maker. And Devontae Adams really kind of underperformed, so far. James Jones has stolen all the touchdowns, but I think Adams is still going to end up with more points in the end. So I think he's going to get some this week. So I'm going to go with Andy here. But a tough matchup. It's going to be close if everything bears out the way it should.
Brock, do you have a pick?
I'm going to go contrarian here just because, well, I have to with Pete. That's just the nature of our relationship, and it always has been. The pains of owning Torrey Smith, I feel he's going to go out and put up another one-point performance on Sunday, which is going to hurt Andy because he had 120 yards and a touchdown last week. I feel like Chris is going to go ahead and pull this out.
That is always a possibility with Torrey Smith. I hate owning Torrey Smith.
Yeah, just no, never again.
Well, I'm going to go with Pete. I think Andy locks this one in a little bit ahead.
All right.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to continue to light it up. So I think it's going to come down to that. All right, well, that hops us over to our second-to-last matchup. We've got Derek Irwin up against Brian B. We have a quarterback standoff between Cam Newton and Peyton Manning, and you can think what you will about either of those. Brian is rocking Doug Martin and Lance Dunbar in his running back core, whereas LeSean McCoy and Giovanni Bernard are names that Derek Irwin's been leaning on. Derek's wide core looks like A.J. Green, Larry Fitz, and Pierre Garçon. And he's going to be playing Devonta Freeman in his flex at this point. He's got Rob Gronkowski as a tight end. He's got the Texas defense slotted for this week, whereas Brian looks to be Bronco heavy. He's got Bronco defense up this week, along with Demaryius Thomas, Mike Wallace, and Roddy White in his wide core. Jason Witten, his tight end, and Jeremy Maclin as a wide end flex. And so you've got a remarkably pushed set of matchups down the board, somewhat better than average in most positions. But again, another nail biter here. What did y'all's take on it?
I think Derek's had a kind of the 1-1 records didn't really hide a lot of things. Derek had a really good season so far, where between both week 1 and week 2, Adams, the other, his ideal lineup has only been 9 points higher than his actual lineup. So either his bench is bad or he's just made some really good picks with who he's starting. And looking at his lineup, I mean, it looks solid, especially with Larry Fitzgerald, you know, being the number 5 wide receiver so far, thanks to three touchdowns last week. But, you know, the Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer connection has always been strong. And it looks like it's there in full swing now again. So that's really I think that's really made and Cam Newton as a quarterback kind of breaking out. That's really made Derek's team legitimate. Whereas before the season, it kind of looked like Rob Gronkowski and then a bunch of guys around him. The breakouts so far of Cam and Larry Fitz have been huge for his team, and now he looks like a really strong team. And right now, he's projected to have the most points of the week based on ESPN's projections, which I'm starting to believe in a little bit more after 2 weeks in the season. So help me, Seth. But
Pete, I don't know what to tell you. Earlier in this podcast, I said, man, ESPN is doing something right. I don't know if they changed their algorithms or if they fired their intern that does these from last year. But, man, they've been within a very safe margin.
They missed week 1 by 1.4 points for the lead and then for our lead total, and they missed week two by 4 points for the lead total, which is just crazy. I mean, it's like less than a point per team average here. So ESPN's got them projected to win, and I think that's right. I think as Derek is a sneaky good 1-1 team, Brian is a sneaky bad 1-1 team.
Yeah.
But that could be me coming off of playing him last week when he had a pretty bad performance, so that may. That may be clouding my perspective a little bit, but I think Derek wins this one running away.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the thing that I noticed about their teams is that Derek's team has to underperform across the board for it to look bad, whereas for Brian to win, his team has to overperform across the board in order to compete. And so I think it's a pretty safe bet to lock Derek in against Brian this week. And Brock seems to be in the kitchen right now. Brock, do you have a any sharp commentary from your pantry?
I'm glad Larry Fitzgerald didn't have three touchdowns against me week one. I don't expect that kind of production. His production the last several seasons has slowly been disappearing. I think that was a fluke week. However, the rest of his team is... Where's that go? The rest of his team is strong. Well, enviably, so.
We will see.
Giovanni Bernard's coming into his own. That's cool, I guess. I have no faith in Doug Martin or Lance Dunbar.
Yeah, that's well-grounded.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So Jeremy Maclin has underperformed this year. I feel like he's going to have a good year. It's just going to take some time for chemistry. Jason Witten might not play. That hurts anybody. Roddy White, same thing with Larry Fitzgerald. Julio Jones came in and took over. He's done being relevant, I think. Go Derek.
Yep.
But, I mean, actually, go Brian, just because Derek's going to get his wins, so I hope he gets his losses here.
That's right.
Because I'm going to be on that bubble, so I don't need anybody to catch me.
Fair enough. All right, well, that takes us to the game of the week. This week we have highlighted Raymond Hessel's Breakfast. That's Peter Elwood up against the Spanish Inquisition, Brent Powell. Brent zooming back to Earth with his first recorded loss after a triumphal week one, scoring well north of 200 points. This week he faces the 2-0 Peter Elwood, and it is a close ESPN projection. They're within about 6 or so points of one another, and Brent's roster isn't completely filled just yet. However, this is a very exciting matchup because of these two teams within our league. I don't know, including Derek's as well. There's some pretty strong rosters, and one of them is set to, I think, begin a long and steady march towards the playoffs. So, Pete, why don't you give us an unbiased take of your opponents and your matchup for the week and your thoughts on it?
Well, the big story here is that Brent gets Le'Veon Bell back, and who is, you know, probably the best running back in fantasy football right now, especially after what we've seen you know, through 2 weeks. I would say Le'Veon Bell is definitely the best running back in fantasy football because no one else has really made a clear and convincing case that it should be them instead.
Sure.
And in his absence, D'Angelo Williams scored like 5 touchdowns with Pittsburgh. So you know, and D'Angelo Williams could never do anything in Carolina the last like 4 years, and so he's pretty much washed up and is still putting up pretty good points in that running back spot there. And now you bring in the much more talented Le'Veon Bell. I'm expecting Bell to score about 35 points this week. You know, so that's the
that's gonna be
an uphill battle. I do think this one ends up being pretty close. I wish I felt stronger about my running backs going into it because I'm going to be starting Shane Vereen and Deion Lewis probably. Arian Foster's not gonna be playing this week like I was hoping. I was hoping to have a fully healthy Arian Foster back to counter his Le'Veon Bell return, but I will not be having that. You know, I do have Carson Palmer, who is the second to last quarterback drafted in our draft, which I'm quite pleased with considering he's the number two quarterback in fantasy football through 2 weeks. However,
it's week two.
He will come crashing back to earth.
It's week two.
Hopefully not this week, but he will come crashing back down to Earth. But I mean, going 2-0 and putting up, 180 something points last week, it's hard to not feel good things about my team right now, but, this is going to be, it's going to be a really tough one. I don't think I'm going to win. I mentioned earlier, I don't think any team is going to be undefeated after this week. Both Brock and I are going to lose and, just bring everyone back to the middle there. So, it's going to be an extremely tough matchup going up against Le'Veon Bell and Julio Jones, on Brent's team.
Yeah, I'm looking at Brent's wide receiving core too, and going, man, I don't know if we've seen better depth in a team this year than his team at this point. He really is set up for some trade power as well as some good options depth wise, matchup wise each week. It is going to come down to that Bell performance, which I mean, I think that's a lock, honestly, and so. Drew Brees has been kind of hit or miss after 2 weeks, and so you've got a chance there. Carson Palmer, I really like this week up against San Francisco, and so I think you have more of a chance than you're giving yourself credit for, but I do think that Brent is poised to have another week where he's up in the north side of 150, 160.
Yeah, I think this one seems to be it's going to be a high-scoring one. I do think Drew Brees might be my best hope.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hope that he plays and then just doesn't play very well. I don't feel like that's the best scenario for me. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to monitor that one as we get closer to Sunday. But I think I have a chance. I just think realistically, I don't think I'm not expecting to win. I would love to be pleasantly surprised at the end of the day, but I'm not expecting a victory here, but I am expecting a very close, high scoring game.
Yep. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Brock, do you have a pick?
Can I tell you who your savior is going to be, Peter?
Absolutely.
Deion Lewis at Jacksonville, or in New England against Jacksonville.
Well, okay, so Deion Lewis is on fire. He's like the number five running back so far.
Yeah.
But he played Pittsburgh at home, and then he played at Buffalo, which are both two games where New England wasn't able to just run the ball all game long. And so playing Jacksonville at home, they will be able to just run the ball all game long. So I think it's going to be a LeGarrette Blount game and not a Deion Lewis game. I was actually searching my roster to see if there was a way I could bench Deion Lewis, because I so strongly believe that it's not going to be a Deion Lewis game, especially because he fumbled each of the first 2 weeks, and Bill Belichick hates those fumbles. So I don't feel real strongly about Lewis this week. And I think I hope he's my savior, but I'll have to disagree with you that in that regard, because I think it's a Blount game for sure.
Fair enough.
Well,
and if you want to talk unstoppable, let's talk Antonio Brown.
Yes, he is my savior. I am
against St. Louis.
I've owned him for 2 weeks in my fantasy football career this season, and I am in love.
You're ready to have his baby.
Yeah. This is a sweet, sweet drug that I wish I had experienced before.
Yeah, it's a good pick and good hang. I don't think it's going to be enough, though. I think that y'all are both going to score high, but Brent's going to take the cake on this one.
I'm going to go with Pete staying undefeated.
Oh, all right. Contrarian, but in my favor. I don't know how to
yeah.
don't know how to handle that.
Are you giving Brent the nod?
Me?
No, Pete.
Yeah, I'm putting in the record books as giving Brent the nod.
All right.
Danny Woodhead is unsustainable, by the way.
Keyword, actually, I don't know. It seems like it should be, but I think it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to I'm going to go a quick recap of our awards from this week. Our top scorer was Pete, and now he's sitting 2-0. Our biggest gap between ideal versus actual. Now, I'll remind you, the IVA stat is one that I created as a way of tracking managers. on a week-to-week basis, where it compares starting lineup compared to ideal score, where you look at your bench ideal as well. And guess who's rocking the biggest gap in their IVA? That would be this guy. I also carry the biggest underperformance versus projection. Seth, quote, Mike Evans hates me, quote, Martin, is my name. And I wear that badge with pride. Biggest overperformance versus projection would be Pete coming out on top, whereas the underdog of the week was Derek and Michael, both of whom were points projected down by 13, and both of them coming up on top this week. So looking forward to another great set of matchups this week. Any final comments on our league, boys?
You know, one thing we used to do on the podcast that we haven't done this year was, you know, what's your favorite power rankings comment? Which is really just here, pat myself on the back. Look at
well, you've been doing that all night. I thought it was cute earlier.
Hey,
you kept on.
If no one else is going to.
there's a bit of a tone in that statement, Pete. You're a little passive aggressive shot there.
You know, maybe this is more appropriate for pre-show. Maybe we should have brought this up beforehand. Like, hey, you know, maybe mention these things that I work on each week.
Sorry, Brock. Mom and Dad have to work out their issues in front of their
kids. It's okay.
I've already
united front, guys. United front.
I've already mentioned what my favorite power rankings comments were. I said the ones that I thought were worthy of repeating of the forum. However, you know, maybe in the future, Seth might wanna.
I enjoyed them this week. I did not like mine or yours. 1-12. But my favorite one goes to our number two rank, and that's Brent. Who slipped down a rank. He's now seated number two in the power rankings, and your comment was, shocking, really. Preseason favorites never lose.
Yeah. And it's that feeling of being the early chip leader at a poker game, where, you know, you just want to hold on to your chips.
And the target is right on your face.
Yep. Yep. We put that target squarely on Brent when we had him on the podcast last week. We mentioned he's a candidate for regression, and he did regress hard, and Derek stepped up to the plate and knocked him out. So Brent will likely not lose for a long time to come, and that will be his badge of honor for the rest of the season. So he did, however, tell me this week that he has sadly already fallen too in love with his players like he does every year, which was, you know, music to my ears to know that
be his folly.
Some things never change.
But some things do. And that is going to conclude this week's episode of Truth and Reconciliation. Brock, thanks for being our special guest tonight. Looking forward to having many more representatives from our league joining in on Wednesday nights as we cover all the ins and outs of the Truth and Reconciliation podcast in this week's upcoming matchups. He's Peter Elwood. I'm losing badly. I look forward to hearing the cries of my enemies when week three. I look forward to next week when hopefully I've been able to redeem some sense of pride, if not reputation. We will see.
Hey, look forward to next week when every team is 2-1 or 1-2, because, you know, Seth and Jared, you're going to get that victory this week, and
hey,
Brock and I are going to lose.
Sprinkles are for winners, Pete. Oh, we're signing off, saying goodnight.